Chapter 23.
Bunny yawned expansively.
"Someone had a late night, I see."
He looked across at Gringo, sitting in the passenger seat next to him.
"You're one to talk, unless I'm very much mistaken. That's the same suit you wore yesterday."
"I was seeing a lady."
Bunny raised his eyebrows.
"Is that right?"
"Yep. Two, in fact. Unfortunately, the other fellow was seeing three nines."
Bunny shook his head in disapproval.
"You'd want to start widening your range of hobbies.
Look who's talking. Another late-night walk home with your Southern Belle, was it? You've been doing that for how many weeks now?"
"A few."
"Any luck in going beyond the walking stage yet?"
Bunny shifted in his seat.
"'Tis not like that."
"Yeah," said Gringo. "Just good friends. Have you looked at yourself recently?"
"What?"
"I'll tell you what. You're clean shaven. You've lost at least a stone in weight, and are you even hungover right now?"
"Course I am."
"Liar. My point is, you and I are good friends, and I can't make you change your socks. You, amigo, are in love, and you'd want to do something about it. Slow and steady is one thing, but even glaciers would think you're playing it a bit too cool."
Bunny rolled his eyes theatrically.
"Here we go with more romantic advice from the master."
"I'm just saying, you like her, she likes you. It's not rocket science."
"She's not exactly had the best impression of men around these parts so far. 'Twould seem rude to make advances."
"Oh, for God's sake, Bunny. You're not Nathan Ryan, and she, more than anyone, knows that."
"That snivelling gobshite would have been collecting his knackers from another postcode if you'd let me."
Gringo held his hands up.
"Not this again. I let you do plenty to him.
By the way, did I tell you I saw him a couple of nights ago?"
"Really? How was little Nathan?"
"Hard to say," said Gringo. "He just screamed and ran out the door."
"Well, I see him again and he'd better be running fast."
"You're like a messed up version of Santa Claus. Do you know that?"
"Oh!"
Gringo drummed on the dashboard excitedly.
"Speaking of which, in a manner of speaking, guess what? The clan have their own version of Santa Claus."
"Which clan?"
"The clan, as in the Ku Klux Klan."
"The shower of racist fuck nuggets running around with the pillowcases over their heads?"
"The very same," said Gringo with a nod. "I saw it on TV last week."
"Have you finally moved on from the end of the world specials then?"
"This was on after a fantastic documentary on the Millennium Bug, actually. Ask me what he's called."
"Who?"
"The clan's version of Santa. Ask me what he's called."
"Maybe I don't want to know."
Gringo pulled a face.
"Just ask me."
"Why do?"
"Because," said Gringo. "This is how people communicate. You're going to have to work on your conversational skills if you ever want to sweep a certain lady off her feet."
"Didn't I tell you to shut up about that?"
"She's on your mind. I can tell. All that looking out the window and sighing plaintively."
Bunny waved his hands about in front of him.
"We're sitting in a car doing surveillance, you dozy gobshite. Not only do I have no choice but to look out the window, it is what I'm actually supposed to be doing."
"All I'm saying is you need a bit of coaching to stop you being all, you know, you. And I can help you with that."
"And how is your divorce going, Gringo?"
"Low blow, amigo."
"You're embarrassed and you're lashing out.
Would you like to talk about your feelings?" Gringo was grinning across at him now. There seemed to be little he enjoyed more than winding Bunny up.
"My feelings? Ask me whole."
Gringo shook his head.
"This is exactly what I'm talking about. You need to be polished up because you are currently a rough, very rough, diamond. I, as your colleague and friend, am willing to my fair lady the crap out of you."
"Very good of you."
"You're welcome. I'm not going to lie. There's a fair bit of work to do in the wardrobe and personal grooming stakes. But we should get cracking on the conversational skills issue as soon as possible."
"I see," said Bunny. "And your suggestion for a break-the-ice chat with a black girl is, how are you, love? Did you know the Ku Klux Klan has its own version of Santa Claus?"
"Ah," said Gringo. "Yeah. I'd probably not open with that, all right."
"Oh, you think? Well, thanks very much, Cyrano de fecking Bergerac. I'll give you a shout if your services are required."
There was a long pause, as they both looked out their respective windows at the nothing that was continuing to happen outside. Eventually, Bunny cracked first.
"Well?"
"Well, what?" said Gringo.
Bunny glowered up at him, but Gringo let the anticipation build until...
"Santa Claus."
"Fick off!
Seriously, they call him Santa Claus. He wears the Santa outfit with the hood."
"Christ on a motorbike. I bet he's dreaming of a very white Christmas."
"You're not wrong," laughed Gringo. "I'd imagine when he's making a list, he's only checking it once. He has a very simple system to cut down on admin there."
"What a shower of limp-dicked dog botherers."
"Yep," said Gringo. "Ireland has its flaws, but at least we never had dickheads like that."
"True,"
responded Bunny.
"Although I can't help but think the absence of almost any non-white people until very recently really helped to cut down on the racism."
"Fair point, amigo. Fair point."
Bunny reached back and shoved his hand into his bag on the back seat, fishing out the can of Diet Coke he'd brought with lunch.
"Aha!" said Gringo. "Diet! Busted! Look at you! Looking after yourself."
"Would you ever shut up?"
"It'll be stomach crunches and vegetable smoothies next."
"Would you?"
Bunny was interrupted, as the can of Diet Coke, which he had allowed insufficient time to settle, exploded upon opening and drenched his trousers.
For feck's sake!"
Gringo roared with laughter and applauded.
"Fantastic! Bit premature there, amigo. Don't be embarrassed. Happens to the best of us."
Bunny rubbed ineffectually with his hand at his trousers, already sticky to the touch.
"Shut up and get me a tissue or something, you great scuttering gobshite."
Gringo started checking the glove box as Bunny looked around on the back seat. He looked into his wing mirror as a car came around the corner at a rapid clip and halted with a yelp of screeching rubber on the opposite side of the road.
"Why is Dinny back?"
"Dunno," said Gringo. "But he's a new dad. Odds on he'll have tissues."
They had relieved detectives Pamela Butch Cassidy and Dinny Muldoon at 8 a.m. from what they'd described as a terminally dull night shift. Muldoon had hurried off to try and beat the morning rush hour home to help his missus with the twins. He'd been in a good mood the last time they saw him. Now his face was red and his neck muscles were straining, as if trying to keep his head from flying clean off.
"Maybe he..."
Bunny couldn't think of anything, but that quickly became irrelevant. Dinny wasn't here to see them. He leaped out of his car and charged to Carter's front door, hammering on it loudly with his fist.
"Carter!"
Bunny and Gringo exchanged a glance and then got out of the car.
"Dinny,"
said Bunny,
"what are you up to?"
He didn't turn around. Even from 20 yards away, the tension in his body was visible, fizzing through him like electricity. A couple of years on the beat taught any sensible copper to recognize the signs. Carter's door was already opening as Bunny and Gringo broke into a run. Tommy Carter's face appeared in the gap.
"No!"
shouted Gringo, hopelessly late. Dinny's right fist was already making contact with Carter's jaw as they made it onto the driveway. The door flew open as Carter was sent sprawling backwards down his hallway, Dinny racing after him. Gringo nipped through the door just before Bunny. Dinny was standing over the supine figure of Carter, raining blows down with both hands. Carter had covered his face with his arms, but otherwise made no effort to fight back. Gringo grabbed Dinny's arms to stop the assault. He was only 5'10 and whippet thin, but still, it took both Gringo and Bunny to drag Dinny out of there, kicking and screaming.
"I'll kill you! I'll kill you! I'll fucking kill you!"
When they finally got him outside, Bunny and Gringo let him go, only to have to hurl themselves in front of him again as he attempted to get back inside Carter's house. Gringo got him in a bear hug and dragged him back to the opposite side of the road, where the Granada still sat, doors open. Bunny looked around to see a few neighbours out on their steps, gawping. He turned and went back into the house. Tommy Carter still lay on the ground, calmly holding a handkerchief to stem the steady flow of blood from his nose. The beginnings of swelling could already be seen at the corner of his faint smile and under his right eye. Bunny glanced up to see Emer standing at the top of the stairs, looking terrified.
"Officer,"
said Tommy, the hint of a smile on his lips,
"I'd like to report that I have been assaulted, and my life has been threatened."
"I see,"
said Bunny, a sinking feeling in the pit of his stomach. Bunny looked at Emer.
"And have you witnesses to this?"
Tommy smiled.
"I don't need witnesses."
He pointed over Bunny's shoulder. Bunny turned to see the CCTV camera above the door covering the hallway.
"You can't be too careful,"